Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Add-In Chapters. I am so excited because today I get to sit down and kind of chat it up with a friend. She's amazing. I think I've done an interview with her before. It was a little bit now noisy, the last interview we did, but I thought doing this healing series, what better way to kind of end and start something new was really, I could not miss out on this opportunity to sit and talk to Amanda. So, with the biggest welcome from the Add-In Chapter family, welcome, Amanda.
Hey, how
How
are
are
you?
you doing? Tell everyone, first of all, what do you go by? I call you Amanda. But what do you go by and what can we find you on IG if we wanted to stalk you?
I go by Panda. People call me Panda, but my name is Amanda.
I know. I love the panda. So cute. So I don't know. I think I don't know. Have you been following the series and the heal different healing episode that I've recorded? I don't know. There's something in my heart that just, I really want to sit down and talk to you. I know that you've gone through so much and you are so young. So just imagine how rough life has been. But you have the biggest smile. You have the biggest hug. You are always given the best, like positive advice, encouragement. And I don't know, like, where do you find all of this in like this strength, because I know that we shared your story about cancer. I feel like you're a warrior. When cancer come, I feel like if we put Amanda with it, we just kicked it out the room because you have overcome so much. And I'm so blessed and honored to know you. But tell me, like, where do you get the energy from to be so positive? Because healing is such an ongoing journey.
Honestly, I humbled myself before God and I face plant myself into the ground. And I'm on my knees praying because it's hard. And I literally, when it gets real bad, I honestly just pray to God and I tell him that you wrote it in your scriptures that when I am weak, you are made strong. You make me strong. And I am weak. I am weak. I am weak. And I take the humble position and I fight by putting my knees on the ground and praying and worshiping, because it's the only thing that's gotten me through all that I've been through so far. Otherwise, I would have lost my mind a long time ago.
Oh my God. That gave me chills, because I remember the first time we like I met you and I went, and I think it was like a YouTube or there was a small clip of a like a and there was an interview, and you said that when you were diagnosed the second time around, you heard of like God spoke. Okay, so we are back. I apologize, but at Add-In Chapters, everything is like as raw as it can be. And so please ignore. We had to restart a little bit, but Amanda was sharing, just about being in a space where she got on her knees and she prayed. And I remember the first time I met her and watched an interview she gave, and she was so obedient to the word. She literally heard the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost told her to, continue to worship and keep her eyes on him. And I still get chills by that, because there's so
Me
many
too.
times
Me too.
when we are going through things that we can't hear a way, we can't see a way out, but we can't even hear God's guidance. And I think for you, like battling for your life, and not knowing what to come after going through cancer one time and then a second time, and you're still fighting, but you're being obedient as well. And that just gives me chills. I think that was one of the things that I'm like, wow, this woman is incredible. And I've met some pretty awesome, dope people in life, but I every day I'm so grateful to have gotten the opportunity to meet you, because I just think that you're such a blessing to those that are fighting, in different areas of their life, because you also suffered a loss as well that was not cancer related. That's hard.
Oh, it was cancer related. My dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer,
Oh.
and at the time he was having symptoms, and we were taking him to the doctors back and forth. They would just say stuff like it was his medicine and whatnot. My daddy was yellow, so
Yeah.
he had caught jaundice, but it got so bad that my daddy wasn't his yellow. And I told him, I was like, "Daddy, you not your yellow. You yellow, but you not. You are yellow like crown." And he didn't want to go to the hospital, but my sister came in that day to see my dad, and she started crying. And I was like, "Yes, this is gonna work in my favor, 'cause she's gonna, he sees me all the time. I'm always there. I was one of me and my mom were his caregivers, but he saw my sister crying and." He realized maybe I should go to the doctor. And I remember that day like it was yesterday, because he was like, I was like, "Dad, you really need to go to the hospital. This jaundice got out of control." And he was like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Let me ask Bae." Bae is mom. So he
Aww.
asked my mom, and she was like, "Yeah, you need to go." I didn't think it would be the last time my dad would be in his house, or that I would see him. A little healthy. We didn't realize how sick he was. I really thought we were going to be just taken to the hospital, and he was going to get some fluids, and that was the end of it. But that day, it was like February 25th. That day, it took another turn, and we brought him to the hospital, and the doctor told us that my dad was in kidney failure already. 12 years dialysis, 12 years. But we then found out that he was in heart failure, which was crazy because he had just taken a stress test like 2 weeks ago, and I was with him and we were good. And all of a sudden now he's in heart failure, and the doctor says we see a mass on his pancreas. And I said, "Excuse me?" I said, "This can't be. Like, we just took a stress test, so I don't understand." And then after that, like, my dad's Marine, so he took it like a Marine. He didn't really cry or anything like that. All he said is he wanted to sleep. That was it. And I literally would be waking him up like, "Don't you want to eat?" "No, I just want to sleep." And I'd be like, And so then after that, VA transferred him to Advent Health because of the test that we needed to run on him. And we got those tests back, and it was pancreatic cancer. And the mass was blocking his pile ducts from draining, and all that area to drain right. So it caused them to back up. But again, he's already on dialysis, so it's making it worse. And we were taking him to dialysis inpatient in the hospital, and this all happened within 1 week. So he was just declining. He was just getting worse. They put a stent in to try to drain it. He got better and then again got worse. And after that, I just remember going to his, didn't know it would be his last dialysis, but we went to dialysis. And I literally put on worship music, and I said, "Me and you, Daddy, we're gonna worship. We're gonna worship." At this point, he's not really coherent. He's not really acting himself. The toxins are building up in his blood. He's a little agitated, so I had to hold his hand so that he wouldn't pull his tubes from his dialysis out. So I literally just sat there and worshiped, and spoke to my dad, and the nurse was like, "Thank you for staying here with your dad." so that he can get his dialysis because he wouldn't stay still. And then after that, it had to been like a day later, he was taking another turn for the worse, and machines were going off, and the rapid team came into the room. And I was like, what is all this? And she was like, his blood pressure is dropping. And she was like, you're going to have to make a hard decision. She says, we can do everything to keep him alive, or we can let him go peacefully. And I said, well, let me call my mom because she's in charge of that. And so we all came to agreement that we would let him go peacefully. And I tried to get him home, but he was so unstable, we couldn't get him home. And so literally the doctor on call was like, I'm going to be hospice until the next morning, and maybe we can get him home. But everybody came and said goodbye, and I hugged my dad. I stayed with him. And I'm trying to remember. I just remember when I prayed this prayer, I was semi-ready, but not completely ready. But I told God and I prayed. I said, if you're going to take my dad, please don't let him suffer. So I prayed the prayer and I just said, if you're going to take my dad, just don't let him suffer. And literally the next day he passed. Literally he passed, and I was like thank you God that you didn't allow my dad to suffer, but I'm simply not ready to let my dad go. He's 73. He's supposed to die old man like my grandpa. My grandpa lived to like 91. And I was a bit shocked. I literally got back to the hospital because I had went to go get my brother who was coming to town for dad too. And by the time I got to the airport, he had passed around like 9 o'clock. And I got back and I saw my dad, and I literally just hugged my dad until he turned cold. And I just watched his chest, just praying that it would start breathing again. And it didn't happen. And that's how that went. My dad was my everything, and the one man that I could depend on. Like, he said something, it got done. If I needed him, he was there. He didn't let us go without his whole entire family. And now that I don't have it, it's a struggle. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Wow. I know that must have been it definitely must have been one of the most difficult moments for you to experience, because it's very hard to watch or even having to say goodbye to a parent.
Yeah, I didn't expect it this soon.
Yeah. It's unplanned.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I find myself saying, I can't believe you kicked the bucket on me.
You know. And I love those memories that you share with him all the time, and just how strong you are about it. Because even when I reached out to say, hey, how are you? And you're just like, I'm coping. You're just always strong for everyone. You know, I feel like I'm experiencing a very vulnerable moment, and it wasn't where we were going, but I'm glad you felt so free. I'm hoping that you sharing it with the world and me just being so transparent about it, that it helps someone. Because sometimes we're strong because we have to be strong in the moment.
Yeah.
But there are times when it's okay for us strong women to let our guards down and just be like, I'm not okay. You know, like, you ever have someone ask you if you're okay and you really want to say you're not okay, but you really just say, I'm okay.
But, I do it all the time. I don't have a choice.
I know. And I feel like that moment of you just saying, you know, because honestly, I'm really sorry. I knew your dad was sick because we had, you know, I obviously have been in touch with you, but I didn't know it was cancer related that he passed away. So I'm really sorry about that. And I know that he was everything to you. He was a prime and an amazing example of what a man should be. So it's definitely hard. And, you know, my condolence, my family, I know that I've reached out to you immediately once I found out. But again, like I said, you were like, I'm coping. And I totally understood that. Because remember when I called you one day and I said, just wanted to let you know I'm here if you ever need anything. But I also know playing the strong card is trying to get, you know, trying to survive.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get through things. But you have been strong for so long. Like, what do you, other than praying, because I know that you're so spiritual. And I love that. And I love that you're so connected to God, because I feel that when you're going through difficult times and you are just displaced, is what I call it, because you don't know where to stand, where to sit, where to run, where to hide. Because, you know, sometimes I feel like when I was going through losing my mom, I wanted to hide behind something. You know, I wanted someone to be in front of me. But when you're the oldest, you don't get that coverage. And so, you know, sometimes it's just difficult to even talk about the healing process, because you're ongoing with the healing. Some days you feel healed, right? Some days you feel like, I can do this.
I can do it. And the other day I'm like, I can't do this, but I gotta do it. I don't got a choice.
And there are days when I get up and I cry for no reason, because something just looked wrong. And so I think what I really want the audience to know, it's okay that you don't have a time frame on healing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's okay that you don't feel great every day. It's okay that you miss your loved one, or it's okay that the same thing that you are trying to heal from, sometimes something reminds you of it and you have to shed some tears or you have to pray. And I love what you said. Like, you've been on your knees because you have to get in position. Yeah. And that's your warrior position.
Very much.
That's your warrior position. It's a good position to be in. It's a good one. I remember when I was going to therapy right after losing my mom. And my therapist, which is like my mentor now, love her still. Mm-hmm. And she asked me if I ever prayed about it. And I was like, like, did I not come in here because I got a problem? No, seriously, because I'll be honest, I wasn't a big prayer back then. I wouldn't pray every day. I would, you know, I wasn't that. Like, I would love to say I was like you. I would love to say I was like, yes. But, you know, thank God, God never forsake us. But I'm being honest. I didn't pray every day. But, and when she said it to me, I'm like, aren't you the therapist? Why are you telling me? No, but in my brain, I was saying that. I'm like, why is she telling me to pray? Like, I come to you to heal me. Like, come on, lady, get with it. But when she said it, she told me that, and then that same night all I did was cry in the session. Mm-hmm. Like, she was like, you need to cry because you've never allowed yourself to cry. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's she talking about? I've been crying. I couldn't
understand
even
that.
You do?
I understand that.
I didn't get it though, because I'm like, what is she talking about? I've been crying, holding up my sister, crying, trying to, I even forgot I had given birth. Like, I had a whole little human being over the corner. No, but that's why I'm like, Don't you like it, sometimes when people say stuff to you when you're going through stuff, you're like, who's she talking to? Because but when she said that, she said, and she just sat there and looked at me like, I'm waiting for you to cry. And I'm like, okay.
I mean, you know, I don't know if I would have been able to do it then, but I mean, I get what she's saying.
I was so, and she was just like, you miss your mom. You are sad that you're going to not have her around to be with your kids. And I literally remember just being okay with saying, I'm so angry.
I feel that.
I was like, I literally, that night, I was so angry. And I remember just crying, and she just held me, and she said, it's okay. She was like, it's okay. She goes, healing looks different for everyone. And the one thing that I've learned, which I hope you haven't experienced it, is I have been so intentional of making sure that I don't approach people with the, oh, you're still sad about that from 2 years?
Oh, I don't ever do that. Oh, no. That's a no-no. You don't do that.
I know, but don't you find that sometimes society wants you to move on from something in a time frame that they have labeled it with and not the one that is best suited for you?
I would agree. I mean, I haven't had, that's why I said I understand, because I haven't had the proper time to mourn my dad. I had to be strong for everybody. Everybody else is falling apart. No one's planning his memorial. Nobody's taking care of his affairs and the stuff you have to do legally and all that stuff. Nobody's doing it. So if I don't do it, it doesn't get done.
Right.
So I don't have time to mourn my dad right now. I watch my siblings and everybody else mourn around me, and I giving them hugs and consoling them. But then if I was to do that, I would fall apart, and the one person I would love to get a hug from, he's no longer here.
Right.
And so I get why she said that. And I still haven't really been able to mourn it, because I'm still dealing with a whole bunch of stuff
that came along with it.
That came along. And I have to say, for all the people out there, if your parents don't got a will, I don't care what you do. I literally paid for my mom's will.
Oh.
I paid for her will because I said, I don't want to go through what I'm going through right now.
With your dad.
Yeah, the affairs that I'm going with my dad. And so I tell all my friends, I said, we're all going to die sometime. And you need to, if your parents don't have a will, go buy it for them. Because it's going to make things a lot simple and easier for you. I don't wish what I'm going through on anyone. And so I tell everybody, get a will. Get your parents a will. Shoot, they might think it's morbid, but I've been like, Merry Christmas, I just paid for your will.
Because
it's expensive.
Yeah, it is. And it takes away from the time that you would have to really just
mourn
and let everything sink in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yet you are going out advocating for cancer's patient. Yes. You're doing, how do you package it? Because you are doing all of this. And I know, like, if I spoke to you on the phone and I was crying, you would cheer me up. You would talk me through whatever it is that I'm going through. And that's why I love this moment, because it's such a safe place and just a moment for us to be our most vulnerable that we are allowing ourselves to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how do you package all of this and still get up every day and be like, I'm going to cheer Debbie up, or I'm going to cheer up my friend, or I'm going to go out and celebrate. I know I saw you just celebrated your birthday not too long ago. Mm. Woohoo! I know, and you're not getting any older, so I do not like you. Like, why is, you know, like, where's the wrinkle? What's happening? Why are you still gorgeous? Why? What's going on?
Thank you.
I watch it, and I'm looking, and I'm like, it's got to take a lot for you to get up and be intentional in that moment?
Because I always told God that I was going to be intentional in every move that I make. But I also know how it feels to be in the position that I'm in right now. And I wouldn't want anybody to be in this position. Unfortunately, people are going to be in this position. But I also don't want you to be in this position by yourself. So I meet you where you're at. You sad, I'm sad too. And when you need a cheer up, I'm gonna cheer you up. I know how it feels to be in the dumps, like you doing everything, you the strong one has weaknesses, but you can't really be weak because you still gotta get up and do these things. And there's so many people in the world, and friends and families will say, you know, we'll be there for you. But hey, does it really happen? Not always. Unfortunately, it doesn't always happen. And people have lives. And so I just know that I don't want other people to feel the way that I feel. And if you're going to feel the way I feel, you're not going to be alone. I'm going to be there to mourn with you, to listen to you, to hear you out, to truly hear you out. If you want to punch a bag, we can go punch a bag. You want to go draw, we can go draw. Whatever you want to do, because I would hope that someone would do it for me. But even if that doesn't happen, I'm going to be that need for someone else that I need it. So.
I love that. You're able to show up for people because you know what it's like. Because I feel like when you have also this need and gap,
yeah,
you become that for others,
yeah,
so easily,
a blessing,
right? Because you know that this is what I needed when I was going through it. Mm-hmm. This is what this looked like, and so you show up for people so easy, you know. And I mean, and it's honestly like I tell people, like, it's okay to cry and laugh in the same sentence.
Oh, I do it.
You know, my sister and I sometimes will be like, oh, that's what mom used to say. And is it sad she's not here? Yeah. But is it funny what she would say?
Yes.
Yes. So you are okay. It's okay to allow yourself to be in the moment, mm-hmm. where you're like, you're remembering the joy, mm-hmm. and the silliness of your loved one that you no longer have the opportunity to physically sit with. But, and it doesn't take away from tomorrow might be a bad morning, you know, or a bad day.
I agree.
But I love the way that you represent yourself from day one, you know, from you battling cancer and kicking cancer butt and, you know, just advocating for patients. And now you're going through, you had to work on healing yourself with that. And now you're going through the loss of your dad,
yeah.
And I know you're a daddy's girl.
I'm when a I met, daddy's girl. I got his name tatted on me.
I know you're a daddy's girl. I remember when I met him. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it was like, you're like 100%. I love it. I love that you're a daddy's girl. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm praying for you with comfort and for you to find peace in it, and
you know,
find your way through it. But I know that it's gonna take time, and I feel like people should allow themselves the time it takes. You know, stop putting these numbers,
mm-hmm.
yeah, into limitations, mm-hmm. on how you should heal and when you should heal. And a healed person shouldn't be going out to dinner and smiling today because tomorrow you're crying.
Where did that come from? People heal differently.
I know. It's almost like if you get up one day and you're intentional about saying that it's going to be a good day, and you happen to just have a day that it's like, you know, one of those spot on day where you go work out,
mm-hmm.
you come back and you're like, yes, I look good. I feel mm-hmm. good. You go to work, you have a big smile,
mm-hmm.
and you're just really working through the day. And then everyone's like, oh, Amanda's so good. And then tomorrow you have a bad day and they're like, what is wrong with Amanda?
She crazy. She over there acting a whole fool. Why? Okay, we're going to play that game.
But it's, why do people do that? Like, why can't we allow each other to really be who they are in that moment?
I honestly don't know. And I always keep that in the back of my mind. It's why I never tell anybody, oh, it's just stop mourning. It's over with. Because I've had people tell me, your daddy ain't coming back. And I, well, I already know that. You don't have to throw that in my face. And then, you know, they expect me to, like, rush on the mourn. But you don't know my daddy like I know my daddy. My daddy was there for me. I had a good father, very good father who took care of all of his kids, all six. Yeah, all six now.
Oh, he was kind of busy.
Yes. And also took care of his wives.
Aww.
Well, ex-wife, wife. It doesn't matter, but took care of them both. And was never disrespectful to either one of them. I never heard a bad thing about my mom or my brother's mom, because we have different moms.
Okay.
They highly, my daddy was highly respectful of both of
Isn't
his wives.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
That's such a legacy. Mm-hmm. That, you know, like, I always tell my kids, you know, when I go, I'm leaving you nothing. But I'm going to leave you but I'm gonna leave you some good, good advice.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I mean, regardless of what he may have left his family, isn't that such a beautiful thing to say that two, a blended family came together and no one really came with anger, mm-hmm. no one had any negativity. That's something you should be so proud of him.
I am very proud.
Such an honor.
I've never seen my parents argue. I never seen, even the exes, I never ever could say I seen them argue in front of us, talk bad, none of that. My dad really, he died with honors. I mean, a Marine, he took it to the grave.
And such an awesome decorated Marine.
Yes!
I love that. I love how you guys honored him. I saw those photos. It's so beautiful. And I'm sure one day, you know, not now, because everything is still kind of spinning. You're still in the midst of it.
Yeah.
You know, one day you'll find a way to truly represent him in your home or anywhere you're at, wherever you're at.
I did.
Oh, that's so awesome. What did you do?
I took his dress blues and I put them in, what do you call those frames?
A
shadow box.
I love that. My sister did that with her husband's stuff. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I did a shadow box. It's his dress blues, and his Marine hat is sitting on top of the shadow box as if a Marine is standing on the wall.
That's beautiful. I love that.
So
you'll have to send me a picture of that.
I definitely will.
That is so awesome. I think my sister did something similar with her. Her husband was in the Marine as well before he came out.
But, hoorah.
Yeah. So that's so beautiful. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, like, your siblings, they all love to see it.
Yes.
That's the beautiful part about it. But how are you doing? Like, how do you feel? Because I feel like this took a turn, and I'm okay with how transparent you are and how open and vulnerable you are. But how are you doing?
Like, I'm making it. I try not to lie. I don't say okay, but I'm making it.
I know. What if we all start saying that we don't feel good? Like, not feel good, but what if someone says, how's your day? And you're like, it's not good today. How do you think people will react to it? Because I think people ask that question with mm-hmm. the expectation of you're going to say, I'm good.
I'm good. I'm great. And then when you say I'm not, they all... Oh, well, I guess I'll talk to you later. I get that a lot. But see, because I get that a lot, I don't do people that way. So when they say, oh, I don't feel great.
Yeah.
Okay. You want some ice cream? We can go talk about
Aww.
It. We can do, I don't know. I remember hearing this. I don't remember. It was a pastor who told me, like, the things that you're waiting on or the things that you seem to struggle with, but more like just struggle waiting on
uh-huh.
in the waiting season, bless somebody else with what you're
come on
want. Like, so
I love that.
Yeah, I bless them. Like, I want a relationship. Well, I see a couple, let me go bless them and pay for their meal.
Aww.
Or if I see someone down, I'm gonna bless you with coming to speak to you and just hear you out, because I don't know if anybody else hears you, but I see you and I hear you.
I love that. That's that's such a good outlook, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes that's so good, because sometimes you're in your waiting season, mm-hmm. waiting for something, mm-hmm. you know, the marriage or even the kid or the beautiful home. And then you see others with it and you're like, oh, I didn't get my beautiful home. I don't have my fancy car. But isn't it beautiful that your thought process is like, but you know what? Look at that couple. I'm going to get their ice cream. Mm-hmm. Because one day I'm hoping that I'm going to be in the same ice cream shop with my boo.
Yes.
Getting some ice cream. That's such a good way to look at it.
It is a good way, but I also, I don't know, it's a, I don't want to call it catch 22, but I also will say, I hope for it and I pray for it and I have faith for it, but if it doesn't happen, I still feel like I'm still blessed, because I blessed the couple that has the love that I wanted or want. But I got to bless them in their happiness. So I'm still getting blessed either way, whether it's with me or it's with them. And it may not happen the way that I want it. I still got blessed either way.
Awesome. I love that. I love that. See, that's, come on with it. See, you are, you're dropping life lessons on Added Chapters. I love it. No, I love that. I've been practicing recently, like if I like see someone and I say how you are, mm-hmm. how are you, and you know, like what's, and the person is like, oh, it's not good, you know, like I kind of pause my day, mm-hmm. and I'll say, you know, like jokingly, like how can I support you, like how can I help you, mm-hmm. like do you want, like I'm that girl too that I'm like, chocolate cures everything, yeah. I don't care what you tell me, bring me some chocolate bars, especially my favorite chocolate bars. And I'm going to be cheering up and smiling, even if it's just that moment. Or I'll be crying while I eat it. I've done that.
I've done that too. I've done that.
Girl, I told someone the other day that I should rebrand like tear ice creams, because I remember.
I'm tearing my
ear.
It's good.
Girl, I have sat down. I swear, it sounds gross, but I literally know that I was crying in the ice cream. But I wasn't eating it.
I'm still eating it.
So, yeah. So, I'm like, I'll say to someone, especially if it's, or my new thing too is like, if someone looks kind of gloomy, I've been just like, girl, you look so good today. Mm-hmm. You are working it. Mm-hmm. And I love it when they catch it. It's like a fever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yes, girl. I just got this. Or yeah. And I'm like, okay.
It's
and
the little things.
Just the little things. I think the world needs us to show up for each other.
I agree.
And I think we all need to just find a way to do that.
I agree.
Like, and one thing I don't want someone to come to me and fall out at my feet and be crying. If you see someone look like they could use a friend, or they could use a hello, or they could use just you stopping for a quick second just to maybe hear them out.
It's the acknowledgement.
Say that one more time for the people in the back, because sometimes you need it.
Yeah, it's the acknowledgement. I see you. Because you could be in a room full of people and still feel like, nobody see me. I'm just... I'm here. I'm one of these people around here, but I feel like I'm here, but the room is empty, even though it's full of people.
Right. It's acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. I love that. If we could just all do that, think about the next person that we come across in the grocery store, mm-hmm. that may just have, you know, maybe having a bad day, mm-hmm. and they went to the grocery store to go buy something and you just gave them a compliment, or you just, you know, reach for something for them, help them get their water. You know, I used to always see the people with the cats, mm-hmm. and I used to always, like, I would jokingly say to my sister, like, I would never get a cat or my friends, because I can't bring the, what is that? The litter
the
stuff?
Clitter, the litter box, the litter. Well, yeah, the litter. Cat litter.
Yes. You know why? Because one day I was at Publix and I was going to my car and this nice little old lady had the cat litter and she would push it out on the trolley. And I was like, there's no way she's going to be able to lift that up.
I imagine she lifted it up.
No, it slipped. Oh, so no. She was lifting it and it slipped. So I go over. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm young. What this kid?
That's some heavy stuff now.
I was like, what? So I said, ma'am, can I help you? Because I'm that person. And
that would have been me too.
I know. And I just went and no, all joke aside, I'm really that person. If I see someone struggling, I'll go over and help them. So I said, can I help you? And she goes, yes, you know, really. And I go like almost like, I could do this. Girl, when I tell you, it almost took my back up.
I was going to say, you're going to use them thighs today.
I was like, I did not know those things. Thank God that they invented the new ones now. Because I was wondering, how are people doing that? Back in the days, I was like, those things were so heavy. But again, it's just, to me, it's just helping others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she might have laughed at me when she got in the car because I know she saw my face because my face was just like, I was not ready. I was not ready for the weight of that. And I literally laughed about that because I was like, there ain't no way I'm owning a cat. Because I was like, no, I can't do it. And it's just, you know, it's things like that just brings that, you know, joy to that person. She probably laughed at me for one, and she probably was just grateful because I ain't gonna lie, I kind of rolled it into her trunk because there was no way I was gonna lift it up. It was just not happening. When I tell you I didn't have those muscles like you, we not working with nothing over here with strength. But it was, you know, it's things like that when I think about that, me helping someone, but still years later, I'm laughing about it. That happened so many years ago and I still remember it. I still always remember it. And I still always think to myself, like, I will never date anyone with a cat. And I never, if I have a friend with a cat and she tell me to go pick up her litter box, it ain't happening. I'm going to be like, girl, you know how to order from Amazon because I'm not doing it. But I think my daughter told me that they're much lighter now. I think it was Leah. She was like, Mom, I don't think those things are, you know, because my friend that comes to visit us sometimes, she has cats, and I think she told them that it's not that heavy. But anyways, it's just a joy that comes with helping others. It's, you know, it's one of those things that you can't put a price on it because you don't know what your help means for someone.
Yeah.
Like your smile, you checking in on others, you going out and speaking to cancer patients that are going through it, you know, letting them know that you understand, you hear them. You don't know what that means because they could feel like they're not connecting to anyone. Yeah. And here you come and you're like, oh, this is my story. And, you know, I just want to sit with you. That means so much. You know how many times, like, when I'm feeling sad, I'm just like, I wish someone would sit with me.
Yeah.
Not talk to me.
No, just sit. You see me crying, I don't even want to talk.
Just sit.
You just sit right here next to me. We can sit in silence. I remember seeing a quote that said, it was along the lines of, you know, you have a friend when they can sit down in silence and you guys can still have a good time.
Yes. Just don't talk about nothing.
Yeah, just sit here.
Just know that I'm having my moment and I'm just going to cry about it. And you just sit there. Mm-hmm. And so we could be that. You're a true example of that, Amanda. Mm-hmm. You're such a beautiful light. You're such a beautiful light. Because I feel like there's no way. I feel like I'm strong, but I feel like, you know, you're like, oh, but you lost your mom or you did this. But girl, the stuff that you have gone through in your lifetime and for you to still be so rooted in faith, be so strong as an individual and still show up every day with the big old smile, still smiling, still, you know, reaching out to others. It takes a lot. And I want you to know that, like, you are seen, you're heard.
Thank you.
You are just, you know, I am so honored to know you. I really do. I feel like you have that radiating strength that you just give others that come in contact with you, mm-hmm. because you don't, you, it's almost like you said, you're not allowing yourself the moment, which I want you to, like, now where you are just very vulnerable, I want you to allow yourself those times, yeah. because those times don't make us weak.
No.
They actually give us relief.
Yeah.
And it gives us acknowledgement, because that's you saying, while I can show up for everyone, I'm showing up for myself.
Mm.
In this moment, I really miss my dad. In this moment, I really miss the memories that we share. You know, that I had to learn to do that as well. And if my therapist is listening, she's going to be like, that's why you pay me those money. But it's okay, girl. I love her. But, you know, and that's another thing for our community. Go see a therapist.
I agree.
Therapists are there to help us. And they are there. You know, it's not, I don't want anyone to think it's a replacement of you being on your knees, or it's a replacement of you worshiping God. You don't worship your therapist.
No.
Your therapists are just giving you tools on how to cope.
Yeah.
Tools on healthy coping.
I was going to say healthy.
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 Because you could have been the other way.
I can't lie and say I feel a little tug here and there, and I'd be like, just chill out, you're gonna be okay. Am I really? But, you know, like I said, I ground a face plant and surrender to God. Like, God, you're gonna have to help me, because you know I'm going a little crazy right now. You gotta help me. Yeah.
But the therapist, healthy.
Okay.
It gives you a space of where you could be vulnerable, and someone to give you tools,
yeah.
that you could help navigate through the pain,
mm-hmm.
and your healing process. Because, you know, the healing process is so many stages, right?
Oh, yeah. It was like 5, 7, something like that. I don't know. But I fluctuate, and just be honest. Because one minute I could be very, very mad and want to punch the hell out of somebody. And the other time I'm crying a little eyeballs. And then I can go real quick to, don't talk to me or I'm going to snap. So,
You got all of them in one day.
Yeah.
You ever had all of them in one day?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've gone through, you know, like how they go through seasons?
Mm-hmm. I can do it one day.
But it's okay, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why it's okay for us to also have good friends, mm-hmm. that understand that sometimes we are not ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and it's not because we are wanting to be mean.
It would be mean.
But, you know, you got to get you some intentional friends, too, that just won't let you go down that way.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like my friends, they will probably call me and start doing wellness check. Be like, what's wrong with her?
Yes, this is, I do.
Yeah, like, this is not her. What's up? I love your voicemail, too. I got one of your voicemail one time, and you're like, Debbie Ann, this is your wellness check.
Oh, yeah. I'm just checking up on you, you know. Even when some of my friends will snap off on me, I'd be like, well, you know what? I'm going to give you a pass because something going on. I know something going on because you don't usually act like this. And you figure out why you snapping on me, too.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. But you start asking questions.
But see, even everything you're going through, and you could still give someone a pass. You see how, you see, your heart is so big. And you don't know it, but God's bringing you through your healing. He's going to see you through it. And it's difficult now,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, like I said, get you a good therapist.
Yes.
And, you know, me and her was like, you know, we weren't friends at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I love her, and I thank her and accredit to her for sticking by me. Because, I mean, if I was myself client, like, I don't even know if that's a correct sentence. But, you know, when you think about yourself and the patient
yeah.
aspect, I feel like, nah, girl, I would have been like, your money is not that strong.
Yeah.
But no, but see, when someone is anointed to do something, because I really felt she, you know, she was anointed to do, and she is still doing
mm-hmm.
what she's called to. Mm-hmm. So she has this gift, you know, that even if you have these walls up mm-hmm. and you're like, ah, I don't know why I'm here. I don't really want to be here, but I'm here. Mm-hmm. She'll strip it down real quick and get to the nitty gritty of the things that you need to use to rebuild. So it's 100% love to all my therapists. I have mm-hmm. I have a good friend too. I had an interview with her, Christy, and she's a therapist. Amazing. I think it's, I couldn't do it.
That's why we all work in our gifts.
Yes,
we stay in the oil that you've been given.
Exactly. But they're amazing. And I really, really want to stress this to our listeners. It's okay to get the help you need.
Yeah.
And you don't have to
be ashamed.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to front. Because you know how you'll have a family member that'd be like, oh man, you weak. You need a therapist.
No, that's not true. Don't even listen to that lie.
Exactly. Don't listen to it. Don't believe it. Don't adopt it. Don't pick it up. It's okay for you to seek the help that you need. Everyone needs different help. And, you know, I wish we would not shame each other when someone is vulnerable about, you know, even saying that they don't feel right, like they don't feel safe to be around themselves, you know, not say, oh, you're gonna kill yourself. No, go get them help.
Yeah,
go see what help they need. We have to start caring for each other
mm-hmm.
in a way that it brings change to individuals' life.
Yes,
you know, we can't be so self-absorbed and so focused on what is happening with what, like, you know, I need to go get this. I'm going to get it. That if you saw someone in need that you're like, oh, someone else will help them.
Or pick up a phone.
I know. Don't leave it for someone else. Mm-hmm. Do what you can do. And then everyone else do what they can do. And it will make the world a better place.
I agree.
Because so much of us, so many people on a day, everyday basis take their life.
Yeah, and I'm tired of hurting people.
That too. That part. Mm-hmm. That's why I stress getting help.
Yeah.
Because you want to get help so you could come out of your darkness,
mm-hmm.
so you could be into the light,
yes.
and you could attract light,
mm-hmm.
and you could bring others to light. You know what? I saw a message one time that said, don't try saving me if you haven't saved yourself. That part.
Yeah, I'd be like, don't save me. I'm good. Hey, I can be a bad hole by myself.
That part.
Yeah.
Because don't try saving me if you haven't saved yourself.
You're just going to drown me.
Exactly. And that's why we got to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do the work. We got to help each other see
mm-hmm.
to do the work. We got to support each other. I feel like even the whole idea of therapists being not reachable. I think certain employers, when you work in certain jobs,
mm-hmm.
it should be completely free.
I agree with that. We got a lot of mental crisis out here. People going, what's that, manic? People going manic. I think it should be free.
I think it should be free.
In a government job.
100. Our nurses, mm-hmm. our medical professions, they should not have to pay for these things. They need it.
We all need it, but they see some traumatic stuff.
Exactly. I wish, you know, like our medical was different here in America.
I
wish it was different, but you know, we got to work with what we got.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are different resources out there for individuals that are in need. There are hotlines. Mm-hmm. If you feel someone's going to hurt themselves, we just got to start showing up.
Yeah.
You know, we got to start showing up. I'm tired of standing by and not doing anything.
Oh yeah. I don't do none of that. We don't do that.
I feel like we have to stand up and we have to do what we can do, what's in our power to do.
I agree.
And so the change is not going to be like you're changing the world, the first person you help. But think about if everyone have the mindset that we do to just be there for someone else,
It would change a lot of
the
stuff.
domino effect that it would be for others that need the help. And so I just feel like we have to start doing that. We have to start stepping up and, making these changes and advocating for each other
I
so
agree.
that we could be in better, not just better standing, but mentally,
Better headspace.
headspace, clarity, and if you know someone that needs therapy, suggest it. I've been so open about that. I tell people all the time, I'm like, yeah, I have a therapist. I ain't ashamed. I'm like, I have a therapist. Listen, that's the best Wednesday night date you'll ever get, okay?
You'll get heard.
Let me tell you. So I say that to others because when I say, oh, do you have a therapist? I don't want someone to be like, I think you're crazy. I'm just saying it helped me. And it don't matter what you're going through, there is someone out there that can help you. And so I'm okay with sharing that I have one. I'm okay with saying, listen, figure out how you could find one for a low cost if you don't have health insurance. There are the community clinics that offer certain services, but that's also something that I feel that I spend time to look up for others because I'm like, there's got to be something that you could get within any price range, right? What does that look like? And that's health in itself also. What you can do, it's just doing what you can to help others. So the next time we see someone in need, we are going to do what we feel in our heart is the best thing to do, which is stop in and say hi.
I agree.
Help someone. The world is crazy. We're not saying stop in a
You didn't tell a lie. You did not tell a lie.
But there's times when we have coworkers that we've lost because they came into work, they looked weird, no one asked them why they looked weird, and the next day,
Gone.
exactly. That's what I'm saying. The people that are in front of us that we look through and not at.
That's
We
what I
need to
think.
start looking at people so that you could help those that you can help because they're in front of you. And stop hiding from our own hurt and pain and wounds, but
Agree.
addressing them so that we could heal from them, so that we can be the best version of ourselves for those around us. Like we're gonna start saying that. I'm gonna put that up on my IG. Don't come save me if you don't save yourself.
Don't save me. I don't want
We don't want to drown. We need those. But thank you for being so vulnerable. I know
to
that we didn't plan on kind of talking about that, but I feel like whatever is on your heart when you come and sit with Adam Chapter is what we talk about because life is not a pretty picture.
It's not, this really isn't.
It really isn't. It's not
Really
perfect.
isn't.
And we can't really hide behind these editings. Like everyone want to edit everything. Everything has to be perfect.
That's
That's
not
not what it
true.
is. You could mispronounce a word. You could say your sentence backwards. You could still show up the next day in a three-piece suit and be the boss. Okay? Life is just live, enjoy, but most important, be present. Because if you're not present, it's just going by. You're not truly living.
That's true.
We spend too much time on perfection. We're not perfect.
None of us.
We're not. But guess what? We are perfect the way we are. So I would say to my daughter, I'm like, I'm perfect. She's like, you're not perfect. Because my little one, she liked to correct everyone. Oh my goodness. That's a whole episode by itself, girl. But you are perfect because God created you that way. So every flaw you have, you're meant to have it. Think about everything you go through life, you're meant to go through it. So the biggest part of that is finding the lesson in it all.
That's what I always say. God, what lesson are you trying to teach me? This one's a little hard today. I don't understand, but you help me understand.
Exactly. So we don't have to spend time on touch-ups and being what we truly are not. Mm-hmm. We could just be ourselves and live in the moment. So when I press the record button, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what is on my heart, except that I know I want to come from a genuine place. Yeah. I want to reach someone that's feeling down, that's feeling like, man, I'm the only one going through this. Mm-hmm. I want to reach down and be like, sis, bro, we too have gone through this. We are here for you, mm-hmm. you know? And so I love that. So I'm never, ever, ever going to portray something I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't want perfection.
I agree.
I want to be present. I want to live. I want to connect with beautiful people like you, with beautiful soul. And I want to talk about our story. And I want to not be embarrassed by the things or ashamed that we're not where we think we should be.
Yeah.
I want us to rejoice that, you know what? It's been a couple years. It's been a couple months. But we could sit here and cry and laugh in the same episode. Because we went through that. We cried and laughed.
We literally just went through that.
And that's okay. And for the person that's listening, I want you to know you're not alone. And it's okay to feel the way you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I want to encourage you as well is seek help.
Yeah.
And do not feel that you have to fight by yourself. You know, get someone involved if you feel that you are at the point that you are thinking of taking your life. It's so important. And for people that have loved ones, check on your loved ones.
Yeah.
Do that call. Hey, how you doing? I'm just checking in on you. We owe it to ourselves, but most importantly, we owe it to our loved ones to see them, to hear them, and to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they're telling us in their own word that they need help, but we're too wrapped up in what we want them to do that we're not listening to what they are saying to us.
Yeah.
So we have to take that moment. But Amanda, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I love you, girl. I'm
going
to be praying for you.
Thank you.
As always, you know that there are no mountains that I think you cannot conquer, because you are just, listen, girl, you are kick ass, bad mama jama. You are a warrior, and you stand in your grace and accept when someone tells you that you are a bad mama jama. You went through a lot and you're still here and you continue to fight through it.
Mm.
And your fight is very noticeable because I see it. I know it's there. Mm. I know that there are times when you feel like you don't know, but I know because you're doing it. And so you deserve your spot. And if you want to cry, girl, call me.
Oh.
And if you want to laugh, call me. And you know I'm down for a drive-by, too. Don't listen to me, Pastor. But you know I'm down. I'm all in one. What's that shirt say? Worry about it.
Let's talk about it.
Okay. That's it. We got it. But, you know, I'm all in one. I'm going to be here for you. But, you know, I'm still probably going to find out why we're doing the drive-by, though. You know I got questions. I'm gonna ask questions. I'm that chick. But just know that I'm here for you, and I appreciate you taking the time.